Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling. Today, we are discussing Season 3, Episode 3, New Car. And I'm pleased to welcome in someone who was snatched from their crib by Russian mobsters. Stuart, how are you?
I'm from London. What? What? I'm not even waiting. What was it? What was that accent?
It was everything.
Captain O'Hara is on my hit list because that was horrendously funny.
And yes. Of course, we are not alone. We are joined by someone who, after this podcast, has to go give flea medicine to someone's cat. Chappelle, how are you?
Say hi to the cat for me is my favorite quote of the entire series. I said, oh, I am so happy this happened. I know you mentioned it on last week's podcast, but I have demanded this episode since the moment I heard of the concept of this podcast. It's all I want to talk about. I can retire after this. It's my favorite episode of the series. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited. This has been a long-awaited episode, most specifically because of Moira's accent work. Stuart, I just need to ask. So this was she channeling Cockney? Is that what this was supposed to be? It felt almost like
saying that like it was recognizable. I guess.
Oh my God, audacity.
It was like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins meets like Angela Lansbury as Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast, combined with Angela Lansbury in like Sweeney Todd. Like all these really stereotypical theatre accents just mashed together into one that it made it so unrecognizable. I guess Cockney in a way, but I mean it's marvelous, and I love her pieces.
You're being way too hard on her. She was practically homeless throughout the entire episode.
When I approached Stuart about podcasting about this episode, he said that he
excited
was
excited beyond compare. Yes, especially with this being our first ever purchase of an automobile.
Automobile.
Excited beyond compare.
What I just loved about it was the fact that she goes from an overbite to an underbite to an overbite, like back and forth. Like the mouth work is just all over the place for it.
Yeah. The walk. The walk.
Oh, the walk.
Yes. The walk. It's the walk. I don't know if everybody knows the walk. There's no way that people hold this episode in high regard like I do, but that walk changed my life. I'm telling you, it should be a GIF used all the time and I never see it. That walk is iconic and people need to give it what it deserves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moira, for those who don't remember, when they're heading inside at the car dealership, and Johnny says to Moira, like, you need to like chill out a bit, like take it down a level. And they start walking inside. She does. I don't even like a strut. Like, I don't even know what to call what this was.
It's a weird mix of a strut and almost like Bambi walking on ice with
like
this kind
limp,
of like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect. This episode is perfect. It sets up some other stuff. So like, not only is it hysterical when you get to the Johnny and Moira of it all, but we're being set up for like another major storyline with what happens with Stevie and her great aunt who's passed away. And of course, we'll have to talk about Ted and his black eye and what else he has going on over at the vet's office. But let's start off with a quick recap just to set ourselves up for success here. Johnny wants a car and he has a presentation and a spreadsheet, which if you don't think that brought Johnny up in my books, you're delusional. And of course, he can't even get to those things because the roses immediately criticize all of the cars that he selected and fight over who theoretically will get the car on Saturday and Friday and all the other days of the week. So Johnny and Moira are going to go car shopping, but they have a problem. They don't have any items in their wardrobe that scream poor or disenfranchised. So Johnny, in his infinite wisdom, goes to Roland for help. And Moira seemingly just picks things out of David's closet. And she channels an old character from Sunrise Bay and pretends to be a homeless woman from England,
Practically.
Either way, either way, they secure a car that is just over their budget.
$1,000, love.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, David helps Stevie with arrangements for her now deceased aunt. Stevie is terrified of becoming her aunt who died old and alone. And of course, her aunt also left her the motel, which is huge. Ted comes into work with a black eye, which Alexis thinks is a sex-related injury. And it turns out Ted actually got headbutted by a goat, but he is dating a 42-year-old patient's owner, I guess technically, very saucy. And that's what happened this week on Schitt's Creek, Stuart.
There is so much to cover. Yeah, like there's so much happened in this episode. Like, we've been talking about how previously it was quite plot light. Typically, we were getting like 3 plot points. We had like some solid plots here, but like lots of things happening within them, which is really good. The thing I want to start with is you talked about Johnny's presentation at the beginning, Jess, and the roses jumping on them on him and kind of not really allowing him to get it out. Were you a little triggered by this? Because
yes,
confession for many of the listeners who may not know, I had never watched Survivor until this year. And Jess put together these presentations when we did a curated Watch of Survivor for like the seasons I didn't need to really watch. And they were great events. People like jumped in. But the criticism that was leveled out of nowhere of, why did you skip this one? Why haven't you included this? And jumping on the presentation, and I could just feel Jess through the internet, just rage building and bubbling and stuff. So I just wanted to ask that, is just, was that triggering for you? And are you okay?
It very much was. Here's the thing, Chappelle. Johnny spent time printing out like hypothetical
really
cars.
Sad printouts.
He had a spreadsheet. Like, he was ready to go. And they didn't even give him the time of day. It's just, oh, no, I want the car now. Oh, and these look ugly. And also, do they sell boats on this website? Like, no one is paying attention to what he's doing. And he put in all this time and effort only for, like, the whole family to ruin his presentation and then Moira to completely sidetrack and derail the actual buying of the car. Poor Johnny is where I stand, Chappelle.
I want to feel bad for Johnny because he really did. This was his project, but they walked in and instantly started to pick this apart. I'm talking about, this must have been the saddest of printouts. You know, like, they come in and like, are we auctioning off police crime vehicles? You know, it is bad. So it's not like Johnny had done a presentation that was probably reasonable. We know he's doing a presentation about money that actually isn't his. This is David's money that he's about to buy this car with. He's like, I want a car. I'm like, so you went out and you started to car shop with someone else's money. I'm sorry, the family funds, without anybody else's input. Like, they're all not going to be driving the car. So I feel a little bad for him, but not that bad.
Maybe David should have just gotten first pick of like, okay, David, what day of the week do you want the car? And you get first pick because it's your money.
It's your car. We're all using your car. I don't think, you know, saying it's the family's car makes anybody feel any better except for Johnny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what's really funny is that I think David could get a pass for like being critical of everything. Moira and Alexis, okay, they deserve it, but David's face when he refers to it as the family fund is just like, really? Like, and I'm seeing a lot of this from David. I'm gonna let that pass, but I'm gonna acknowledge it in my face. Like, just
he's so good.
It's not the family fund. It's David's money, and you're meant to be saving it.
And guess what? You budgeted $4,000, and you know what you spent.
$6,000, love.
$1,000, love.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Which is crazy. David is the breadwinner of the family, and no one's acting like it. But I will say this. whatever criticism people have for David, look at him. This is so selfless of someone who's always had a bunch of money, who's never had to work really. Like, he's going in and he's like he's taking these statements and a lot better than I would. If I told somebody you could have $4,000 and they took $6,000 and we have basically $6,000 to our name, I would be livid. And so I think the world of David in this story, and also just this arc of him working and starting to kind of like get it out the mud, I really start to like David as one of my favorite characters in season 3.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good point, especially when we find out, Stuart, that like Moira talked them up. Like, they were going to give them a better deal, but she's like, you can't put a price on dignity.
It really can't, though. Oh, wow. That's the thing. I did see a little of myself in Moira in that moment, because I get that with the whole thing of pride. Like, someone's trying to, like, insinuate that you can't afford something. And I'm usually appreciative of discounts and things. But the moment I feel like I'm a bit of a charity case, my pride will take over and I'll be like, nope, even if that will put me in financial ruin, I'm not going to accept that. I will pay for it. And it's terrible. It's a really bad habit. More so, like, I can think it's more understandable for her coming from where she has come from, and like these two fans coming to her and being like, oh, we can like definitely give you the discount. Knowing their situation and knowing they're spending David's money, poor form from Moira. Like, you can act, but you can't act for that. Why?
Well, and it's really a bad choice to not, like, she creates a backstory, but she's really just pulling a storyline from a soap opera she starred in. And as a character she played, like, you have to imagine someone's gonna, like, catch on to that, possibly, especially when it is Chappelle. This is a classic soap opera storyline of a twin snatched by Russian mobsters because of how beautiful she was and going on the human black market, and no one wanted the twin despite the fact that they're identical.
It was 3 minutes later. She wasn't born until 3 minutes later, so they couldn't get the other identical twin. This was Moira's ideal of a humble backstory which will disabuse this man of any notion that they're too patrician. That's what she said. And what she came up with is a storyline from back when I was a celebrity, and then had the nerve to be offended that these people recognized her. You know, she was like, wait, what? No, that we don't have a TV. Stop it. Like, she really tried to downplay this story that she gave them to use. And if looks can kill, when Johnny shuts down Moira talking the price back up, the way she looks at him, she's like, it's exactly what Stuart was saying. Like, my pride has kicked in now. Like, I'd rather walk than take this discount. And so, yeah, this $4,000 car is now $6,000 thanks to Moira. 6,000 quid, love.
6,000 quid, love.
Oh, God. I'm going to take it away from you, Jess. I'm going to take it away from you.
He has the power. Yeah, and it's, gosh, I don't even know who to blame. I know who to blame more. Moira is more to blame here. Yeah. But Johnny also has some serious missteps when, I don't know how many times, Stuart, he can expect to insult Roland directly to his face and still maintain some sort of a friendship there, because all he had to say is, I need some more humble clothing, you know, some more streetwear. Lie to the guy. Say you need to do some outdoor work and you don't have clothing that's appropriate for that sort of thing, right? No, he says, I need to look like I don't have money. Can I raid your closet? What is wrong with you, Johnny? That is so rude.
Incredibly rude, especially because, like, Jocelyn's back to being the Jocelyn that we know and love.
Yes.
The kind of just sweet person that kind of welcomes in and deals with Rowley's stupid little jokes at the door and is just saying,
strip,
no, come on in.
Strip cribbage.
Yeah, let's do some strip crib. Oh, wait, no, it's not Friday. Like, and yet he goes in and just insults them. It's so rude, and I just want to kind of backhand Johnny, but I do wonder if maybe he did go in with a plan to not be rude, but then Roland's little, like, kind of door slamming threw him off his game, and he kind of gets a bit flustered. I don't know, he seems like maybe he's someone that when he doesn't have his pitch prepared properly in the right way and stuff, he does kind of go off the rails. But the lie that he tells, which is like, well, not even a lie, just the way he tries to cover it by saying, oh, I just want to look hip. He's so lucky that Roland is a bit dippy and Jocelyn is very accommodating. I'll just say, yeah. Because when they just go along with it, he's really like saved in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Jocelyn's facial expressions in this scene is my favorite thing about Jocelyn, because she's like, when he's offending them saying, I want to look like I have less money, Roland catches on like, wait, you think we look like we have less money? And then he says, no, I want to look hip. And you see Jocelyn got to go, oh, okay. Well, you know, obviously, like, she's not even talking, but she's in the background like, right, duh, clearly.
Yeah.
This lady is acting. I love it. I love it so much. The fact that they even had to go get clothes, because Johnny was going to show up there in that like $8,000 suit and just be
like, no cufflinks, Chappelle. He did not have on cufflinks.
Yeah. This was bad. Ugh. Like, David is telling them, this is not going to work because no one's going to give you a deal on a used car if you look like you could buy the lot.
Yeah, one of my favorite moments this entire episode is when Moira and David are standing next to each other and they're wearing nearly the exact same outfit. It is
in his closet.
It's hilarious. I love it so much that this is her version of like homeless. Is what David is wearing.
Yeah. He says, you can't put a price on dignity. And he says, tell that to your outfit. And he says, well, we're dressed identically. So look at that.
Your outfit.
Yeah. I would love to see that image of that wig on David just to see the full effect.
Haven't even talked about the wig. Oh my God. There's so much. My biggest critique about this episode is that it feels like it's too short, because it was every mm-hmm. scene feels like it mattered and it was hilarious. Like, I can't think of one thing in there where I was like, yeah, I didn't really need to see that. Every second was so good and it's jam packed. Like, we could talk about each scene for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so much good here. Like, the fact that she doesn't warn Johnny that she is going full like method and coming up with this crazy backstory that he's expected to back, like, despite the fact that he doesn't know what she's gonna say. Like, she insinuates they're homeless, that they're cold, that he is a retired tennis pro mm-hmm. from some resort. Like, it'll be nice to get off the streets. Like,
for what?
What? it's all just so much. And my favorite is when where are you two from? And Johnny, I've been wondering that myself. He has no idea what she's gonna say. Yeah. And you could tell, I don't know if she's like pulled this stunt before, but it feels like she probably has done something similar, because Johnny has this look on his face like, I'm not gonna try, because I know she's gonna just take the wheel and drive, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's just let her do that.
And the whole point of her even going was because they thought Johnny couldn't handle this, Stuart. That was her reason. She was mm-hmm. like, let me come and settle this, because Johnny, you know, we're going to let you down easy. You like flashy cars, but they look like they're for you. Let me come in and step in. And this is what she does.
Yeah. If they hope that Moira goes so he doesn't Vin Diesel it, which is an image that I really didn't need.
Style people.
But the way in which he... does actually, I think Moira going does actually enable him to kind of gain control of things a little bit better, because in her chaos, he tries to like wrangle it out of that. And I think that's where he really thrives, because that's where he's comfortable. So when like she's going on and on and on, and he just goes, as you can see, we can't even afford her meds. I was like, stellar light, John A. That redeems mm-hmm. you for all the other bad line that you've ever done. That was just brilliant. Because then they took that immediately, because, oh, it explains so much with Moira, which is so sad.
Yeah, she lost all her money and now she's having a mental breakdown.
Yeah. Is he not? Sucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have we seen episode one of this show? You know, she's in the midst. This woman is going through shock every episode and just hasn't come out of it yet.
I also just wanna know what she's used this wig for in the past. Let's do Moira wig watch early, because I feel like it is just necessary. Like, what is this wig being used for?
It's, I guess, gonna be a combination of two, right? Like, it's not one piece with the mullet bit.
I think the mullet bit is her hair.
Oh, she just left her hair out, like her leave.
That's what I think. I think the mullet bit is like her actual hair, and then it's kind of like a weird, like, I'm trying to think of the actress. Kind of like Princess Diana on the top. in a really Stuart's offended.
As if this show couldn't get more offensive to British.
Or like Peter Pan. Is that better? Like a Peter Pan?
I guess. I'll take that over. The people's princess.
I mean, like, you know what I'm talking about when she had the shorter hair.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's like a classic 80s power wig, isn't it? That I don't know. But it's the choice to have either her real hair or another wig underneath that's poking out. Like, the blend of the two. What? And I don't think it... I want to think it's not her hair poking out, because she is a bit of a, like, wig pro. Like, I don't imagine Moira having wig fumbles like this. Like, I imagine she is... She knows what to do with a piece.
Yeah, picture.
And then Moira's a little gray on her head. I think her hair would have actually been gray as well, but I think this is one piece. I think this is one wig, and that it was made for this moment. Like, I think that you never wear this wig before or after that, because at this point, like, you have to break glass in case of emergency for this particular wig. It's used to mimic the trappings of a workaday woman, and so that's what you're gonna do.
Also, I have pulled up, just so that if people are watching us on YouTube, you can see I'm about to play the walk so that people can watch the walk. Oh, so God, find us on YouTube at Talking Shit. We're gonna watch this walk.
Oh,
just look at that strut. Look at that weird strut. Also, what person who's down on their luck and homeless has heels that are like at least 6 inches high? Look at these things.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, geez.
Tall shoes. She's the same height as Johnny.
Just wild. Absolutely wild. I love the storyline so much. Like, it has everything. Moira going method, Moira and a ridiculous accent. Like, you thought her accent, Moira herself, her accent is ridiculous. Then she does a weird British Cockney situation, and it's 20 times better.
Yeah, and she had so many quotes, you know. This toggery is perfect tribute to a common woman. I said, toggery? And then she's like, a humble backstory that will disabuse this man of any notion we're too patrician. I'm like, hey, you're about to come in here and act like you're a homeless poor person. Why are you coming in talking like this in general? Like, why is this where you talk?
Yeah, I need a dictionary to look up like half the words she said. Like, you can't.
And she typically talks similar to this, but she was turning it on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The eloquence level was, like, cranked up for this. And it's almost like she can't stand being poor. Like, she has to have something to claim that is going to elevate her above the common man, which is going to be the eloquence in this. Because if she's going to dress like shit, then she's going to at least sound better than everyone else. It's a shame about the accent, though.
Absolutely perfect. Okay, so one more time before we jump to a different topic here.
Excited beyond compare. Yes, especially with this being our first ever purchase of an automobile.
Automobile.
Oh,
I love it.
When they told her, you know, you're working so hard to shave a few bucks off of that Lincoln, the light switch goes off. She's like, wait a minute, pity? Is that pity? Is that pity that I sense? Like, no. She said, we didn't lose everything. I'm like, yes, you did. She's like, you're acting like this is such an act of desperation. It's just an act. I'm like, no. Y'all are desperate. Y'all live in a hotel essentially for free. You're spending your son's money on this, and you're about to split this car between four adults who have other things going on in their lives. Y'all are desperate for the car. Just be desperate. She could not do it. I love it.
Also, she does choose a car solely based off of emotional instinct of like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of the car we drove before we had David. And it's like, didn't look at a single other car, ask no questions about the condition the car is in. Does it run? Like, how many miles are on it? Nothing.
Didn't even see them kick the tires to at least give the impression that they know about cars. Because that's the thing you do, right?
Yeah, obviously. We all just go around to dealerships kicking tires constantly.
You gotta tap it at least, just to see.
Yeah. If it just falls apart.
Ridiculous. What do we want to talk about next? Do we want to talk about David and Stevie, or do we want to go the Alexis and Ted route?
Let me just point out, Roland and Jocelyn play cribbage every day at lunch. Look at this love story. They literally set out time to just kick it. I love them two together. I really do. They're like, I don't know. Jocelyn's just made for him. Like, she's like the only person who could probably deal with him long term. But
she has a little nickname for him. She calls him Roly. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, she finds him endearing.
So sweet. I love the fact that, like, the way she talks about the cribbage as well. Like, she's still enthusiastic about it. It's not like, we play cribbage every lunch. It's like, no, we play cribbage every lunch. And it's like, you can tell that she still loves it.
Yeah. So this episode gives me the warm feelies. So I was like, yeah, I love
it. It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Stuart, where are we going next? Ted and Alexis or David and Stevie?
I mean, I've got to talk about that. The little sexy Susan that he is, Ted. Like, jeez.
He's a sexy Susan.
I was so worried that when we got batted away from, like, Alexis rumbling him for a secret relationship that we weren't going to get it. And then we did get it. And I was like, this is even better because it's like making really dirty puns that make Ted uncomfortable. And I was like, yes, love it.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't like the term booty call. And I'm like, Ted, you're young. Okay, like, act your age for like a hot second. He doesn't appreciate booty call, but I mean, Chappelle, we got to make sure we're pointing out his key word for like booty call slash sex is, this person wants you to go wash her cat.
Mm-hmm. Right. See, he's a little too innocent because he doesn't see like, oh, how that could be suggestive. Whereas Alexis can find suggestive in anything, including, yes, I got headbutted by a goat. She's like, oh, is that the one where you get up on the table? I was like, Alexis, sit down. Sit down. Dad, stop it. Stop it. So yeah, booty call. This is good. I love, look, Ted out here being a little naughty minx. I like this.
Mm-hmm. It's great. I mean, it's an older woman. She's 42. If we're going to say that Ted is around the same age as Alexis, like mid to late 20s, like it's a significant age difference. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Or I mean, like, it's like 50.
Like, Ted also like hitting on his clientele, like, cheeky Ted.
Yeah. Like,
this woman is 42 and Alexis insinuated that she might have dementia. She said, oh, she like thinks she has a cat because
so
she's like
sad.
50 or something. That's so sad. I was like, 50? 42? Dementia? What are you talking about?
Say hi to her cat for me. It's so funny. I love Alexis getting excited about this for Ted. It's so funny because she's so bothered. She needs to know why he has the black eye. Like, oh my God, Ted, you owe someone money? Like, what's going on? Did you get in a bar fight? Like, do you know this man, Alexis? Do you think these are the reasons you would have? No, it's more likely that Ted fell and like hit his eye on a doorknob than it is that he owes someone money. You know, I love it so much. And her admission is also very confusing, where she says she makes an admission that like sometimes I take the meds because they help me like concentrate or something or give me energy. I'm like, what kind of pet pills is she taking? What's she stealing and ones. Taking?
Yeah, the good ones.
Like she's like probably rifling through. She's having a little bit like micro dosing at work, seeing where they all are. Yeah. Like, Alexis is having fun.
She said, you know, I know they're for the animals, but sometimes I take a few just to keep me, you know, keep me concentrated. I was like, is these horse tranquilizers? Like, what does he have in there that she's microdosing? Alexis could be doing anything.
Yeah. Also, her excuse for being late, the foot traffic was so heavy.
Yeah. It's the best Alexis excuse ever.
Like, really? There's like heavy foot traffic. You were in a line to get to work? Okay.
It's Schitt's Creek. Where were you walking from? You know what I'm saying?
It's so funny. I love it. I love sexy Susan. I love everything about this storyline because it's just, especially Alexis, when she's asking about like, oh, is headbutted by a goat when you do this? And she like makes the movement. Mm-hmm. And he's like, please stop. Please stop.
What is she? She asked him if he was having an adventurous rendezvous with an apple-cheeked farm woman. And I said, what? This is Moira's daughter. Moira's daughter showed up.
Yeah.
Absolutely is.
It's perfect.
I just love the fact that this is like what we would normally consider like the third story, like the throwaway that they go to for things, and yet they just rinse it for every joke possible, and also like tell more about this world. Like the fact that we're getting Alexis and Ted, their relationship building as a good friendship where she can kind of like just poke him and like tease him a little bit about his relationship, and he's kind of unwinding a little bit and getting out of boss mode, getting out of ex-boyfriend mode, and being able to kind of take it. I think this is just wonderful to see. But those sunglasses, do we really think that Ted owns those sunglasses? Or
yes,
are those from like a costume or something?
No. Here's the thing, Stuart. I know exactly what happened, okay? Ted bought a motorcycle.
He did.
And he was like, I now need sunglasses that go with a motorcycle. In come the aviators. He looks hot. They look great.
Have we seen him on the motorcycle since?
No, I don't think so. I wonder if
are we ever going to see it? Like,
what do you think?
Did he just ride it in? Did he hire it? I don't know.
Ted, Stuart, what do you think about Ted's new relationship here? Do you think we're gonna meet this what's her name, Howard something Howard,
Heather Warner.
Yeah,
I don't know where I got Howard from, but do you
just
think we're
like,
gonna meet
think
her
name is Howard, you know, because you're like mm-hmm.
so sad.
Yeah, I'm sad.
I'm so old.
So sad. I part of me definitely does want to meet her, because I think like the like that whole dynamic with Tallahassee and Alexis was a bit of a vibe, and I wouldn't mind kind of rehashing that kind of ground again. But then equally, I don't know if I can get over the awkwardness of someone who is asking Ted to wash her cat turn up. But like, there's something of just, that's what I'll always think about it whenever she's on screen, is just, yeah, you asked him to wash your cat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
She dropped off she wanted him to drop off the flea shampoo, and that made it even worse to me. Like, it's not only just washing the cat, but it's also, it's like, it's infected. You know, like the cat has
My cat has fleas.
My cat has fleas. That's the code name. Like, hey, someone called and said their cat has fleas. I'm on the way.
Could have been a cuter code. Yeah. I think that's a little messed up. Yeah. Not my cat needs a trim. That's not good either.
Just don't say cat. Just say something.
My cat's been purring a lot lately. Maybe that. That doesn't seem like that's a vet's problem. My cat's in heat.
My
cat's
in
heat. We found it. Yes. Okay. Perfect. I love this. I love the storyline. It's not good. So anyway, anything else about the Ted storyline here? Also, we do believe him when he says that it was a goat that injured him, right?
I mean, I don't know.
It's disappointing that it's not a little sexcapade. Like, I did kind of like that idea of, like, Ted having a secret kind of little bit of, almost like, maybe post-Alexis graduation in the bedroom of just, okay, I'm going to get a bit more adventurous. But, I mean, getting headbutted by a goat is... It is what it is. I can't really kind of like, I don't think he would lie about that unless he had to. Like, he knew the game was up. I think Alexis like had him read and would have targeted in on it if it was anything but.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't write it off. Like, we don't have any proof that it wasn't sex related. It's just like, that was like his first lie. Like, oh yeah, headbutted by the goat. And then when the flea shampoo thing happened, it's almost like she forced his hand, because for some reason, she normally doesn't do stuff like this, but she's actually going to be his assistant and drop off the flea shampoo. She said that with her whole chest. Like, Ted, I know I normally don't do things like this, but I'm actually going to go and make a delivery. I thought you worked here.
That's after hours business. She doesn't have time for that. Plus, the foot traffic is so heavy on the way home.
Foot traffic. Oh, my God.
Love it.
Let's talk about David and Stevie. Stevie's great aunt dies, and we get the vibe that Stevie and her had a lot in common, and that she also worked the front desk. She was a bit of a loner, and Stevie is now terrified that she is going to become her great aunt, who has also left her the motel. She doesn't seem to have any other relatives that are not incarcerated or dead.
So the great aunt definitely is dead. This isn't a bit that we're just going along with.
This scene, Stuart, went the perfect length. You know what I'm saying? Like that back and forth where it's like, oh, that was awkward. Ooh, that's still awkward. Oh, that's even more awkward. David, stop talking. David, stop. David, just leave. And then he finally's like, I'm just going to go. And then he bows and leaves. I was done. So perfect.
I think it went on because, like, I think ordinarily other shows might, like, cut it a bit too, like, soon or let it go on too long. Like you said, it was the perfect length of, like, just absolutely kind of coupling it. But, again, a lovely, sweet scene where David kind of admits that he was not necessarily a dick, I think just misinformed of, like, kind of how he read the situation. And then kind of just goes, yes, that's what friends do by the end. And Stevie, like, has this kind of, like, big smile on her face because it's like, yes, we are friends. And it was like a really kind of sweet moment there. The whole motel, though, being left to Stevie, wild. I had no clue anything like this was coming. I was like, because when someone visited, I was like, oh, is Stevie about to get a load of money? Is she about to be like the rich one in this dynamic? And I guess in a way she kind of is, but it's more asset rich than cash rich because the motel getting to Stevie, I think this is going to lead to some fun stuff of, I don't know whether maybe they're going to do it up. Maybe they're going to collab. I don't know. This is theory time, which comes later, but maybe like the money could get invested in the motel. I don't know. Yeah, I'm thinking.
Oh, like a David and Stevie collab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that could be David's new job.
I mean, at the very least, we're getting more from Stevie this season. It's obvious that, like, this isn't the end of that thread. So we're at least going to continue with that. Makes me so happy. I've missed David and Stevie in scenes together. Like, in season two, we talked a lot about how that felt like it was kind of missing. And them at the funeral home. Man. I don't know how you're supposed to react to someone saying, we don't know where your deceased's ashes are. It's possible they got mixed up. Oh, by the way, they were on top of the microwave. Sir?
Yeah.
Sir?
Is there
ashes in my cup of coffee? Excuse me?
He said, well, what have you been using? You know?
Grim.
Also, her picking up the shipping tube as like an urn is just so funny and pure because I feel like I would maybe make that mistake. You know, you're like, you're looking and you're like, oh, I'll take the cheapest one. And they're like, actually, that's not an urn. That's just like a cardboard box. And you're like, okay, well, I said what I said. Now put the ashes in the box and hand them over. Thank you.
Stuart brought up such a big point that even as many times as I've seen this episode, and I've seen this episode a lot, this is like one of my comfort episodes of television. I rarely think about like, what does this mean? Like the implication of when you watch this for the first time, you're thinking she's going to get left some money or something like that in a will. Because we've seen that done a billion times, right? Somebody's distant relative leaves them money. These people need money. So like, it would be so easy for us to say, now, Stevie, you're the richest person in this group. Go at it. You know, have at it. Make the roses jump through whatever, you know, hoops or work for you in whatever capacity, blah, blah, blah. Maybe they can get into business. But they give her the hotel. And this hotel is trash. This hotel is literally got people living there for free and they can't make repairs. The staff is Stevie and she's not great. She's half the time she's just playing Pong and stuff on her computer or looking for Moira's nudes. You know, like they handed her so much responsibility and responsibility that's directly linked to the roses. I think it's so cool because she's their landlord now. You know, like these people who have been living there essentially free-ish now have a job. So maybe they can pay now. You know, Stevie has to pay the bills. Like, what does this mean for their friendships, their interactions? This episode, although, like I said, it's too short because it just gives you all of this and says, okay, now have at it. You know, you got a few more seasons left, you know, party time. And I love it. I love everything about Stevie getting the hotel. The stuff about her aunt, I really don't like how she's pushing back against it so hard because she really looks down on her aunt's lifestyle to the point where she's seeing so many parallels. It's really like showing what she kind of thinks of herself, you know, her self-esteem, going to die alone in an apartment with newspapers for curtains. Like, all right, Stevie, calm down.
She needs to get herself a couple cats, move to Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it does make sense that she has this fear that because she knows that her aunt died, like she knows that the person her aunt trusted to handle her affairs is herself. And she's like, and I was like semi close with her, but I wasn't like close. So the idea that like that's the closest person to handle your affairs, I think is very sad for Stevie, especially when they're like spreading her ashes in a parking lot. Like that is really bleak. That is really dark and sad. And I love how David handles this because I don't think he becomes someone he's not, you know, like he doesn't say to her like, oh, Stevie, you're the best and you're the sweetest and blah, blah, blah. Like he doesn't just, again, he doesn't become someone he's not. Instead, he says, I wouldn't have been friends with her and I'm friends with you. So you're not the same person and you're going to be different. And when I scatter your ashes, it's not going to be in a parking lot. Like it's very David. The way he handles this. And I think it helps because Stuart, I don't think if he had like lauded her with praise and, oh, Stevie, you're the best and the cutest and the blah, 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 I don't think that would have worked.
Yeah, it would have been so disingenuous and not their vibe at all. Like the fact that he does say very nice things to Stevie, but then follows up with the whole bit about finding a much nicer parking lot. Like just that jab that's not quite like a full-on like punch of like just a bit of a barb is just enough to like ground it in a bit of reality. It's much in the way like me with my friends, I can't say nice things without following up with something awful to them because that's my love language. And I think theirs is very much the same. It's like you say sometimes the worst stuff to the people that you love the most because you know that there's like that dynamic. And I think, yeah, if he had been overly nice and hadn't followed up with this, then yeah, it would have felt so fake and not what she needed. Like, I think Stevie is the kind of person that does need a bit, like, need someone to be nice when it's required, but then also does need a friend. And what friends do is make each other laugh. And I think that even though she may not have laughed in the moment, I think somewhere in there, it's just that chuckle of, yeah, that's, yeah, I've got to hand it to you. That's very funny. Yeah, well done.
Yeah. David as a friend is so funny to watch in this episode too, because he starts off very much like making jokes. She's like, no, someone really died. No, someone really died. I'm not joking, blah, blah, blah. And then David, the selfish David that we know from the past, goes, well, if you need help. Like he can't even bring himself to offer a legitimate like, hey, I'm here for you. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to help you with this, figure this out. He can't even do it. And so Stevie's like, yes, I would love to help. Thank you. And so from there, he changes it to his funeral blacks, which look exactly like Morris' outfit. His funeral blacks, y'all. So anyway, changes to his blacks. And then from there, he's trying to be kind and be understanding and really be uplifting Stevie in this moment. But it started off with him not even being able to breathe the words, I will help you through this, you know? So in one episode, so much growth of just like being in the moment and being there for your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love David this episode. This is why I love David and Stevie, because they're really great friends, but they do it in a very like you poke fun at your friends. That's just how it is, you know, especially people you're comfortable with. I love that. And it's, again, I like that we're getting more from Stevie. We're getting more for Stevie. This is a storyline that will obviously continue. It's a really great setup episode for some stuff. Now the family has a car. Ted is dating someone and Stevie has inherited the motel. So all like big pieces of the season three puzzle kind of being placed down here. Anything else before we get into some feedback?
The one thing I wanted to point out was that I didn't realize that there was an upstairs to the motel until this episode. I think this is the first time I've noticed that there are stairs.
Yeah, that she was coming down the stairs. Yeah.
She came down the stairs. I was like, where is she coming from? Like this, I feel like this set has grown. Well, clearly, yeah. But yeah, I didn't realize that, which makes me think that it's even more responsibility to deal with. Like there's so many more rooms. I can see how much slacking off Stevie is doing, playing pong and doing everything but her job.
It's different when you're the owner. Yeah, can't be playing solitaire when you're the owner. Yeah.
You gotta pay people to do that for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some feedback. We did hear from Trish, who says, Stuart, I hope you were as offended as I was on your behalf at that accent. There are lots of great moments in this. I like that Alexis and Ted are in a much more comfortable friendship zone. And I like that Stevie had a feature storyline rather than being a side note or just there for quick one-liners.
Stuart,
how much were you offended on a scale of 0 to 10?
Jokes aside, like, very. it's so absurd. Like, I don't think that I can be offended by it because it's just so funny. It's just the way in which, like, anyone that does a really exaggerated and awful accent, I think I'm instantly endeared to you because you've probably played D&D, because that's what most people do with D&D accents, because they just do. You're looking shameful there, Jessica.
I have no shame. I think I do lovely accent work. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just saying.
Well, I won't ask for a demonstration. I completely agree with what Trish is saying about the whole Stevie bit, though. Like, getting Stevie with a Stevie storyline as opposed to a David side storyline kind of thing, it's really great. And I hope we get more of them. Mm-hmm.
We got something from Aaron. Chappelle, Aaron has a possibly a spicy take here. Is Johnny actually useless?
Well, that's another thing I really like about this episode, is that you're seeing that there's autonomy forming in his family, and Johnny is dealing with that whenever David gets a job. You know, when Johnny's not realizing that he's not the breadwinner, he's not the most responsible person in the family anymore, these things are falling onto other people. I don't think he's ready for that. I think that even when you see him, he's like, I want a car. Like, I'm demanding a car. And everyone's like, oh, Johnny, okay, well, we'll all look at it. You know, like, I think that this is something he's going to have to grapple with, because he goes from being the breadwinner of the family. Well, him and Moira both, obviously, but they come from being a well-off family. Then they go off to, like, they have to really huddle up, right? And like, circle the wagons and be a family that he's leading. Well, now people are starting to spread their own wings. And I think that he's not completely useless, but I think he might struggle with that for sure.
Yeah. I think it's something that's an ongoing struggle we've seen him dealing with, is what happens when you're the patriarch of the family and used to be the breadwinner, and now everyone else is kind of finding their autonomy, and what good are you? You're the only one without something going on, essentially. Yeah. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. We got an email from Erica, who wants us to only considering looks and putting all Mutt hate aside, which I will struggle with, how would you rank Mutt, Ted, and Jake in order of hotness? So Jake isn't in this episode, but Jake was the thruple guy. Yeah. Mm. Stuart, what you got?
Ted, Jake, Mutt.
Gonna Ted call is the hottest, then like Jake, that. Then yeah. Mutt. This is only considering hotness.
It's tight between Ted and Jake.
Okay.
But yeah, still the
interesting.
Same.
Interesting. And this is Mutt with or without beard is last. I guess it doesn't really
matter. With beard, but without beard, I think, like, the gap between them, massive.
Yeah, okay. Gosh, it's really hard to not integrate their personalities into this ranking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tend to like darker hair. So bearded Mutt is really attractive. Bearded Mutt from, like, season one, not with the longer hair in season two, I'd probably put number one, then Ted, then Jake, I think. But also bearded Ted.
I was about to say, season one Ted is dead last. Season
exactly,
one,
but yeah. Season two Ted with the beard and the aviators, he's climbing the ranks.
And the black eye.
And the black eye, yes, of course, obviously. He got a bar fight.
Yeah.
What about you, Chappelle?
I don't know. I don't really know the Jake character from plenty of other things. So I'm looking at pictures of him right now. I think he's fine. I'm looking. I'd probably go like Ted first, then Jake, then Mutt. You know, yeah. It's not my cup of tea.
Ted is the best. If we're including personality, Ted is number one, and it's not close. Yeah.
But specifically, season two's Ted. Season one, Ted is dead last.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's right. I remember Chappelle's takes.
I was like, Alexis can do better. You know, yeah. I was like, this is me. Yeah.
We also got an email from Lauren, who says, thank you both so much for making this podcast. After a recent binge of the entire series for the second time all the way through, I finished feeling like I needed to talk to people about how amazing this show is. This next line killed me. My husband only likes shows where people get murdered, so he gave me a hard time for wanting to rewatch Schitt's Creek. Naturally, I turned to podcasts to find my people, and I'm so grateful to have discovered Talking Shit. I started at the beginning a couple weeks ago and binged the entire podcast while driving around rural Maine delivering mail.
Wow.
Incredible. Also, that sounds like a really interesting job because Maine is absolutely beautiful, especially this time of year. Now that I'm totally caught up, I can't wait to get started on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Huge, huge Buffy fan. I will warn you, Lauren, because you mentioned it, that podcast is not PG rated at all. So just fair warning. You've been warned in case you listen loudly. And also, apparently, Lauren is also a massive fan of the Bob Jog, which is incredible. She said, when you mentioned his funny quirk in one of the first episodes, I knew exactly what you meant. Mm-hmm.
There are literally dozens of us.
Dozens of us! We love Lauren here. Big Lauren fans. Shout out to Lauren. Thank you so much, Lauren, for sending in that email. Yeah. If you want to send in an email, podcast@talkingshit.com, or you could find us at Talking Shit everywhere. All right, let's get into our ratings here. Of course, we do our Simply the Best and the Disgruntled Pelican. Chappelle, let's start with you. Who was simply the best this episode?
This is so hard. This is the hardest one. I don't care what anybody says because Moira was off her rocker, but this episode does not work without her being off her rocker. She makes this episode so good. Ah, she's so good. Alexis was fun. And normally I'm really hard on Alexis because I think she's my favorite character. So I try to like, okay, Alexis, you gotta do better. She did steal those treats from Ted, so maybe I could give her a demerit there. She said she just begged me to try one, and I took a few for David, too. You know, so maybe there's something there. God, I don't want to put this on Johnny because he got them the car. You know, it was his idea, but, oh, man, it's tough. Johnny Rose, I think it's on you. You were given a budget. You took Moira to the car dealership and you let her get out of control. And then now you spent $2,000 extra of David's money. So I think Johnny's probably my pelican if I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
And my best is like, it's Moira. I'm sorry. She cost them all that money, but she is the star of this episode. This is a masterclass in whatever the hell it was.
I think that's Moira's tagline is she's just a masterclass in whatever the hell that was.
I loved it.
Oh, what about you, Stuart? Who are you giving your simply the best point to?
Again, this is difficult. This is always difficult because there are so many different ways in which we can approach this. Do we go for the person that was the funniest? Do we go for the person that was morally the best? Do we go for the person that was good for plot and pushed things forward? And I think at times, you've got to play it with how you're feeling. Like, I don't think there's any real science to it. We've been harping on the Star Show, so we'll do whatever the hell we like. So I'm going to swing today with who made me laugh the most. So I have to give it to Moira as well. I don't think that this episode is what it is without Moira.
It's very fair. I struggled a lot with this one as to who to give it to. Because like you said, Moira and her accent work is just, how do you not laugh every 5 seconds? You can't, you don't stop laughing. However, I feel the need to balance the scales a bit. As someone who curates spreadsheets and presentations and sometimes doesn't get appreciation for it, Johnny came in with a plan and routinely he is disrupted. He would have gotten, I feel it in my bones, he would have gotten a good deal at that dealership if not for Moira and her shenanigans. And if he had just gone in with the budget he wanted, with the plan he wanted, maybe he, you know, he needed to have a talk with David about the outfit he's wearing. But I think Johnny deserves a point here because he still is the one who had the idea to get the car in the first place.
It was his idea, but they would have been in a vehicle looking like a ponytail Lothario cruising down to Monte Carlo. Like, you can't just let Johnny go by himself.
It's called style, people. Okay? He knows what he's doing.
I can't be mad at it because this was his idea. Nobody else was trying to get a car. He did some research. None of it mattered. He did an Excel sheet. None of it mattered.
Exactly.
He worked with a plan. None of it mattered. I just don't feel comfortable giving him credit for failing so many times.
He's just coming in with big Virgo energy, and I appreciate that about him. He's trying to herd cats, which is impossible.
Yes.
Okay, Disgruntled Pelican, Chappelle, obviously we talked about you've given it to Johnny for the reasons you stated.
I think so.
Stuart, Who you feeling Pelicany about?
Yeah, Chappelle, you say you can't be mad at it. I can. Johnny is absolutely getting my LVP, if only to balance out that MVP. Because he went
you're a monster.
£2,000 over budget.
£6,000, love.
He didn't dress down as well as he could. He insulted Roland and Jocelyn.
He did.
He knows his family. He knows what they're like. Why is he preparing this, knowing full well that if they even get a thread of anything to scrutinize or question or ask things or to be judgy about, then they'll do it. So why is he doing this where they live? He should be doing this at the cafe, away from everyone and prying eyes, or he should be doing it at his office. And
he got kicked out of his office.
Yeah. And why did he get kicked out of his office? Because he doesn't have a job and he's spending his son's money.
That's why he had to bring his family in on it. He needed the $4,000.
Yeah, he needed the money.
I feel so bad because I love Johnny Rose, but man, it's just like, everybody was firing on all.
I'm gonna tell you one person who's not gonna be happy, and it is my husband. He is gonna be pissed. He listens. He loves Johnny. Johnny's his favorite.
I love Johnny. He's the
best. Well, I don't know who to give mine to. This is the problem because, like, Moira does terrible, terrible things, but also that accent is like you forgive her for anything she's ever done. Just listening to that, because I love to like poke fun at Stewart, and it's like she did that for me, you know, like I was relieved of a job this week.
My criticism against Moira in this episode is when they decide that they're going to get a car, Alexa says, "Oh, I'll take a Saturday," and she goes, "Absolutely not." Wait, why?
Because she wants it Saturday for whatever reason.
But for what? You just shut it down to like the car hasn't been purchased. They haven't even found the car. Alexa says, "I want it," and Moira's instantly like, "Nope, not on my watch. Why?
Not happening."
Yeah.
This is hard. It's like, I'm not giving it to Ted because he was a sexy little Susan. David is a really good friend. Moira has the accent. I already gave my MVP to Johnny. I'm not LVPing him.
Are you supposed to?
Alexis,
how I'm dare not, you?
No, stop trying to make me LVP Johnny. As like Alexis like steals some drugs.
And some baked goods
and some
as well.
Cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it to Alexis, even though I'm not even feeling that confident about it. I would give it to the funeral home, but like, I'm never going to see those people again.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of like.
Yeah, I was going to suggest either them or the dead aunt, because I mean, what's she going to catch?
She died. Screw you, lady, you're dead.
She made Stevie sad.
How dare she make Stevie sad? That's ridiculous. Okay, let's tier rate the episode now. We have hot shit, faux bouquet, love that journey for me, ew, David, and shit, out of luck. Chappelle, do you have any inklings as to where you think this belongs?
As if you don't already know, this is the episode when I heard about this, that the reason why I wanted to come on this podcast, I said, if I can just do that episode, I mean, this is hot shit. This is the hottest shit of them all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like this is one of the best episodes of the series. I don't know if it's the best one, because I'm definitely got some other ones in mind that are really, really good. But I have no complaints with this. Everybody was so on point. I don't hate anybody that was in this episode at all. Nobody did anything that was egregious. I mean, like, and even if they did, it was hilarious. Like, I'm looking at you, Moira. So this is top tier. I don't know. I don't respect anybody who doesn't think this is a top tier episode of the series.
On that note, Stuart, what do you think?
Well, this could get awkward.
Gain my disrespect if you want. You know, that's on you.
No, absolutely not. I mean, hot shit. If this is anything else, I'd be angry. I'd be absolutely willing to fight people.
I agree because and obviously I've seen the whole series. I know this is like a setup episode, but it's not just a setup episode. Sometimes you can feel that something is like, oh, we're just setting things up for the future, you know? But this is an episode that not only contains like important stuff for going forward, the car, the motel, right? There's a lot happening, but it's also really funny for all three storylines. And not just that, but like, it's hysterically funny with Moira and Johnny at the car dealership. So it really is. And it's also like kind of heartwarming when you have the David and Stevie stuff. So it kind of ticks all the boxes, really. Mm-hmm. So it's hot shit, I think.
I Googled a list. I was like, just like top Schitt's Creek episode ranked just to see if people felt the same way. Because I was like, if there's like a top, like whatever list, and they're not, and this isn't on it, I will be angry. It is on the list, but it's kind of low for my taste.
Oh, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I can tell. I think I could tell you which couple are probably above it. I feel like.
Yeah. And I still have some in mind that are definitely like, you know, top tier as well. But this one I love. They ranked it 21.
Oh, wow. And I assume Finding David is above it, which we have already covered. So Stuart knows it. That's the season 2 premiere. I feel like that one is always at the top of people's lists because it's really funny.
It's definitely on the list and it is above it. Yes.
Yeah.
I won't say where.
Wild though. Being as low as that is kind of encouraging in a way because it means there's so much more to come that's really good. Mm-hmm. But also, I kind of question the judgment there because this.
Right.
How do you top this episode?
So good.
Episode was fantastic. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just today when I asked Chappelle, like, how he was feeling about coming on the podcast, he said...
Excited beyond compare. Yes, especially with this being our first ever purchase of an automobile.
Practically homeless.
The beauty of sound bites is that they're a bite, not a meal, Jess.
I don't care! I love it so much. I didn't use like any of my other ones yet. Like I could have called out who did I give my point to? Alexis for being
like a disgruntled pelican.
I could have done that and I didn't. I showed restraint. anything else we didn't talk about that either of you wanted to touch on today?
Just past episodes of this podcast have been great. Y'all are so great. I'm so happy to be here. I remember the last episode, I think Stuart said, "What kind of dog are you raising?" And I put that as like one of my favorite quotes that I've heard because I believe your dog is eating cat shit, Jess.
There it's was a thing dogs do.
Sure. But anyway, I was like, that's the right question. Stuart was like, "What kind of dog are you raising?" I said, yeah. So, keep this up. I don't think I have another like, I don't have another episode on the.
You're gonna have to pick one.
We got to talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to talk. So I can come back. But thank y'all for having me. I would not have forgiven you if you did not have me for this episode. This is my.
This has been on the books forever. So you were definitely coming on. Chappelle, what else do you have going on? We know there's a lot of podcasts you're producing. So where can people find you?
Yeah, I definitely got to start writing my plugs down because I'm getting really bad at saying them. on Mondays, I am talking about. Survivor, I think. Yes, Survivor on Mondays with Rob Cesternino on Club Condo on the RHAP network. It's Rob's last Survivor podcast of the week. And so it is the most unhinged. Check it out on our YouTube page and on robhasawebsite.com, also known as We Know Reality TV or We Know Survivor.com. You can catch it in all those places. And so we'll tune in to that on Tuesdays until the end of the Big Brother season. Rob and I are also talking about Big Brother and our podcast called The Slop. It is a patron-only podcast on RHAP, so it's behind the paywall, but it's behind the paywall for a reason. It gets a little edgy. I just said that the Buffy podcast is not PG. That is not PG at all either. Do not listen to it around your friends, your family, or your kids. Just a private place, okay? Just listen to that on your own. Check that out on RHAP. Also on RHAP, I don't know what's next. Nothing but Netflix. Nothing but Netflix. Every week we talk about a different Netflix show, Rob and I again. But this last week we had the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast on to talk about Mr. McMahon, the 6-part docuseries about Vince McMahon on Netflix. We talked about the first part. We talked about the premiere. But we're going to talk about the rest of it next week on Nothing But Netflix. So make sure you check that out as well. Taryn Armstrong and I just dropped our preview of the season of The Summit on CBS, a social strategy game played while hiking up a mountain. And so that is about to drop soon. And Taryn and I will be covering it, I'm pretty sure, episodically on RHAP. So check that out. Next week, House of Villains is back. Season 2 is happening. And so Jenny Autumn and myself will be talking about season 2 of House of Villains. So there should be some content coming your way from that on RHAP as well. And then over on Recap Kickback, my podcast, where I talk about whatever I want to talk about, including a bunch of like black media, but then new stuff as well. We got The Walking Dead coverage for the first time ever coming to Recap Kickback. We have the Zombie Kickback. I've assembled the crew of Jess Lease, AJ Mass, and Josh Wiggler to come and talk about The Walking Dead. This is Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, season 2, : The Book of Carol. And so check out our premiere episodes already out, and then subscribe to the podcast at recapkickback.com/subscribe to make sure you keep up with all of our zombie kickback nonsense. It'll also be on the We Know Scripted TV feed as well. So definitely subscribe to Recap Kickback, but you can catch it over there too. And also on the Recap Kickback podcast, every week me and Mari talk about whatever's going on in Black entertainment news. And we had Matt Scott on this week to talk about the first 4 episodes of How to Die Alone on Hulu, starring Natasha Rothwell. It's so good. Check it out. We'll be covering the second four episodes next week. And you can follow me on all social media platforms at Recap Kickback. Thank y'all for having me.
Incredible.
We need a separate podcast just for Chappelle's plugs.
It's so embarrassing.
Busiest like, it really is. In podcasting.
It's really embarrassing. And I'm sure I forgot something. That's the theme. Like, we'll log off.
I was keeping track in my head, and I think you got everything. Because I know a lot of the podcasts you're at, you know, obviously. I know next what you're week. Up to, so.
Next week, Crime Scene. I think I'm on the Crime Scene podcast.
I didn't know that one.
I think it's the Crime Scene finale. Don't quote me on that one. But the season finale of Crime Scene, I will be joining Matt Scott to talk to Mari and Sarah Carradine over there. Don't you stop me now because I might remember another podcast I'm going to be on.
Well, you could find me at the Just Sterling and also over on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, where Sarah and I are continuing our journey through Buffy the Vampire Slayer, as noted by Lauren earlier. And also Felicity. So you can check us out there. We're going to have some spooky content in October as well. So TBD on that. Stuart, anything else you want to plug? You're at Stuart Drinks Tea because you're British.
Yeah, at Stuart Drinks Tea. And mercifully, no podcast to plug.
There you go. but do you want to know the title for next week's episode?
Yes.
Okay. It is called Driving Test.
They bought a car without having a license.
Well, Johnny drove the car home.
I wouldn't put it past him to drive without one.
Do they have licenses? Yeah, maybe. I guess I never asked the question. Maybe they all need to take the test.
We'll see. We're also not going to be alone. Yet again, we are going to have special Canadian guest Melissa back on the podcast.
Yay. So that should
be tons of fun. You can ask her all your driver's license Canadian questions if you want. There was mention of Saskatchewan in this episode. So super Canadian. Super Canadian. Just something need to
that's
point
that's your
out.
Reference. Just, yeah, something Canadian.
It's Canadian. It's a place. It's a location. And it's Saskatchewan, not Saskatchewan. That is what I know. And the Canadians will be very pleased that I pronounced it correctly. I'm just letting you know
and
right now.
Texan and me just flinched. You know, I was like, what? That's exactly how you say it. Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan,
Texas.
Wait, Jess, before we go, you have to do your Texas accent. Think Annie from Community.
My name's Caroline from Corpus Christi.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Shut it down. No more accents ever again. Stuart, I know what you meant. I know what you meant.
Corpus Christi, Texas.
Stop it.
What is it? The Colby line from Survivor. Every morning I wake up and I think, thank God for 2 things. Thank God that I'm alive. And thank God that I'm a Texan.
I'm a Texan. Hey.
That's what he says.
To my soul, okay? Yep. There you go.
All right. Well, that's all we have for you this week. So until next time, everybody, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.